Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
You know, we were talking about the winners of the Big 12 Coach of the Year. It's Matt Campbell of Iowa State and Lincoln Riley. Now, this is the Big 12 Coach of the Year, the Big 12.
The Chuck Ninus Award.
They put out their award winners today, so you think, well, are these guys future coaches in the NFL? We've heard a lot about Lincoln Riley, and I don't know, maybe not. I know the Heat, to follow up what Stink was saying about VJ, I think the Heat's way off on VJ. It's kind of a simple thing to say. Why would the Ravens fire John Harbaugh? Well, right now, the Ravens are in a great position to actually make the playoffs. However, you got to think about things a little bit logically here if you're a Broncos fan. And this makes it exciting. So when I go on and on and on about how the Broncos are a better team than the Bengals, I do believe that is the case. Now, certainly anything can happen, but we are looking at playoff games every single week, and that's exciting. I like that. It's fun because the Broncos aren't out of it. But certainly, Al, I believe that they will have to win all of their games, and that might not be enough because they would lose a tiebreaker to the Ravens. So if the Steelers kind of get their act together.
Also to the Texans.
So depending on what happens in that division. So really, we should hope the Texans actually win their division. And then maybe like the Colts will falter a little bit because we don't play the Colts and we go to other things. But the Steelers and Ravens will compete. It's crazy to think about how good the Chiefs are. Well, the Chargers are only one game behind the Chiefs. But either way, Al, it's reasonable to think that they'll win three out of their next two games, both the Chargers and the Chiefs. So if the Chiefs win three out of five, that puts them at 12 wins. If the Chargers do it, that puts them at 11 wins. We can't even get there, right? Can't even get there, even if we go perfect. So what's the best the Broncos could really hope for? And more or less, it's that sixth seed. Now, I do think that's worth fighting for, Al. I do. I think that would be the culmination of a pretty amazing season. But I don't see a path, Al, unless you win all of your next five games. Do you?
I don't see one unless we win them all as well. Because I was just looking at the odds of the Denver Broncos making it to the playoffs, according to the New York Times today. The Broncos have an 11% chance to make it to the playoffs this year. Now, that's actually not bad considering where they were. There are some teams that are, of course, eliminated, like a team who probably should think about getting a new head coach, the Atlanta Falcons. You know, the Buccaneers are out. The Cardinals are out. The 49ers are out. And certainly the Giants are out. And the team that won the Super Bowl last year, the Eagles, who have a 5-6 record, they have an 18% chance to make it to the playoffs. So all things considered, all the tight games that we played, you know, D-Mac, it's not a bad position to be in. Right now, the Bengals have an 8% chance. The Ravens have a 49% chance. Browns, 3% chance. Titans, 12%. Jags are out. Raiders are out. And once again, we're sitting there at 11%. So we have a shot, but we have to have some things shake up in front of us. But the only way that we can make that happen is to win them out, okay, which is not easy because we haven't done that yet. Okay, that means that we're going to have to win five more games, and we have a chance. And that could end up doing is moving that game against the Chargers. Let's hope that the Chargers continue their run. So the Chargers lock up one spot, the Chiefs lock up one spot, and then we are battling the Titans, the Colts, you know, and possibly the Ravens. So that's what we want. We don't want that game against the Chargers to count for nothing. We want them to have that game already accounted for. Or the other side is we need them to lose two more games, and then that last game against us is a game that's necessary for them to go to the playoffs and for us to get to 10-6, and then we get in.
Every week's a playoff game.
Every week.
And every week, I think the Broncos will be favored, including that game against the Chargers, the final game of the season. I love the rest of the Broncos schedule. And
you said it was going to be a doozy at the beginning.
And it was. It's the hardest schedule in the NFL. That's how it's played out. In terms of their opponent's winning percentage, the Broncos have the toughest schedule in the NFL, and the Bengals actually have number two. The Chargers, 31st going into last week, and the Steelers, 26th.
Here's what I would ask you next. Here's a really good question that I always ask you. Can this team go into Foxborough and beat Tom Brady?
I don't know. No.
Okay, when we got to start finding quarterbacks.
Yeah, well.
That never changes, though, right?
Here's what BJ said about Case Keenum.
No, I don't think anything's changed. I think Case is playing good football. Again, I think defensively, we've had a couple weeks where we hadn't played great. You know, we've done better in the red zone and taking the ball away, but it's stopping drives early. You know, we got to play better on defense to give Case more chances to put more points on the board. But he's played really good football. He's an experienced guy, and he's a grinder, you know. And as it gets hard, I think Case likes it that way. You know, that's been his MO since college. So I'm not surprised he's playing good football for us.
Well, he hasn't turned the ball over. But that's great. That's great. I mean, we saw what giveaways did to the Steelers. It lost them the game. Flat out. They do have a better team than the Broncos. Nobody's even arguing that. They lost that game because they were sloppy with the ball. Period. And Ben can blame whoever he wants. But if you weren't turning the ball over left and right when it mattered most, especially in the second half, you'd never have been in that position. Ben. Man, Ben must drive people nuts. As good as he is and as a Hall of Fame quarterback and the Super Bowls and all that, his whole Big Ben attitude with things, that must drive people bonkers, Alfred.
Well, I mean, he believes that he can talk openly and freely and criticize his teammates.
It is something. It's a trip.
Like, man.
It's a trip.
I just don't remember John doing that, man.
No. I don't remember anybody doing that.
I don't remember Marino doing that.
Ben's a trip.
I don't remember
Ben's
Favre doing that.
Ben's a trip, no doubt about it.
I just don't remember them doing that. So maybe this is the new school. Maybe those guys are old school, and maybe this is what new school is.
I don't know, man. I think it's Big Ben school. You know, I don't see anybody. I don't think it's new school. I think this is just who Ben is. He's an interesting dude, no doubt about it. But, you know, he's a great player. And they were on a terrific winning streak. And they had, you know, that game should have been going down the last minute with the Broncos with the ball or to overtime. And he threw that interception on second down. I mean, how many times have we said about Case Keenum, dude, whatever you do, don't throw a second down interception.
Don't throw a first down interception.
That's right. And for the Steelers on that particular drive, it was touchdown or nothing. So it's even worse because you had four downs to get the ball in. I mean, it was an epic mistake. I tell you, something that we're doing great is the Fan Season of Hope, presented by AquaSpas. We're looking to provide the men of the Denver Rescue Mission's new life program some Christmas spirit and support. The program is a long-term rehabilitation for addicts and chronically homeless men in the Denver area. Those in the program have taken major steps toward becoming contributing members of our community. So we're partnering with AquaSpas to provide them with a present for the holidays and a year-long support. One donation of $30 makes you a hero of hope. And as we heard last hour, American Financing is going to match the next 40 Hero of Hope donations. Way to go, American Financing. So
way to go.
Become a hero of hope. Just go to 1043thefan.com to provide a gift and support. And thank you for contributing to the Fan Season of Hope, presented by AquaSpas. Let's go off to 303-713-1043 to the RamosLaw.com text line. Full of crap. Your schedule wasn't even close to the hardest. Stop lying. You are literally wrong on that. I had Eric Schubert, a Broncos PR guy, who's terrific, literally came over to me with the numbers, Alfred. All the numbers laid out to show me specifically. By the numbers, the Broncos had the hardest strength of schedule they've played so far this year. It was not, like, made up. that literally happened. They have had the hardest schedule this year, and the Bengals are number two. And we told you about the Chargers. We said, listen, I get it. Of all the good teams, they're probably the worst of all the good teams. And their strength of schedule proves it. Now, they put it on the Cardinals, but who doesn't put it on the Cardinals?
We put it on the Cardinals.
Everybody puts it on the Cardinals. By the way, the Bengals have given up like a first drive TD like in three straight games or something like that. They are... That is something that should happen, by the way. You know, the Steelers game started with a 3-and-out by the Broncos. You don't have to necessarily score a TD against Cincinnati, but if you don't move the ball pretty effectively right off the bat, it'd be just a touch concerning. You only have to win by one, so I really don't care if it's a blowout.
By the way, the Chargers, listen to the ending of their schedule. Steelers, Chiefs, Ravens, and yes, the Broncos. And they play the Bengals next week.
Yeah, let's see if they make the they got 8 wins, so. But there you go. What are the 2 wins out of those? Out of those games, what are the 2 wins for the Chargers?
If you want to call it a Bengals one.
I'd call the Bengals one, okay. Yeah.
Okay, and they're playing at Pittsburgh this weekend.
I wouldn't say that's one.
They're playing at the Chiefs.
I wouldn't say that's one.
Okay, they play the Ravens at home.
I wouldn't say that's one.
Then they got to have us.
I wouldn't say that's one. Oh, I would be so excited to see the Chargers just skid right out of the playoffs. That'd be fantastic. That would be then, so Philip Rivers.
You know what? You know what would happen then? And Los Angeles, they'd be saying, you know what? We need a new head coach because all of those games matter in seedings.
Really? They've only had Anthony Lynn for 2 years, just like...
Well, I'm just letting you know, if you slide one way
now,
or the
you're
other.
Assuming somebody cares about the Chargers in Los Angeles, which is it's a big assumption, Al.
That's going to be a good game this weekend. Chargers at the Steelers.
Hey, man, think about that for a second. No coach in the NFL has less pressure on him by the fans than Anthony Lynn.
Yes, there is.
Who? Less
Bill
pressure.
Bill Belichick.
I think you're missing my point.
What is your point?
My point is possible coaches that could be on the... Bill Belichick's never going to be on the hot seat.
He's
being ridiculous.
Well, I'm just letting you know.
I'm just saying there aren't any Chargers fans, dude. You know that.
Faithful aren't out there.
There's no Chargers fans.
But when they move in that new stadium...
There will still be no Chargers.
Is it next year?
Who will the Chargers fans be?
I don't know. If they make a run... You know, everybody loves a winner.
You think that they're going to be citizens of Los Angeles who are going to be the, you know what, they'll build fans eventually. They'll be the Clippers of Los Angeles.
There was a national football reporter that tweeted out a picture today that said, you have any question, any doubt that Los Angeles is a Rams city?
Right.
And showed a table full of Rams merchandise at LAX and not a Charger piece of apparel in sight.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
I believe that.
It's kind of a shame.
It's hard to think that Los Angeles residents still don't view the Chargers as being San Diego's team.
Well, I mean, they just kind of slid in there because, you know, Stan Kroenke's building the most amazing stadium in the history of stadiums.
They slid in there because the Spanos family could not get a stadium built there in San Diego. Couldn't do it. And that's in San
Diego. San Diego don't want to spend their money that
way. They don't want to do it. And that stadium, which once hosted Super Bowls.
And also hosts at least, I think, 2 bowl games every year.
Yeah, is one of the most decrepit stadiums in the country
but
right
the
now.
The field, that playing surface,
it's
the
fine.
Field
yeah,
was
fine.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I played a Super Bowl in there. I played regular season games in there, and it was always great. And then I played a Super Bowl in that stadium when it had, you know, a month to get it right. Man, the field was fantastic.
And the sight lines for the fans are great. It's got a very unique sort of deal where you can filter down behind the visiting team bench if you really want.
Like San Diego, Mile High.
Yeah, San Diego's beautiful, but it's in a weird spot in San Diego that's definitely not beautiful.
No, it's not.
And it's not far.
It's a weird, funky part of the town.
It
kinda
is
like where
weird.
Oakland is.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's near a strip of a lot of hotels. You can't see the water at all. It's close.
It's down in a,
It's like down in a hollow. It's just down like where there's highways going over and parking lots.
Yeah.
And it's just
but
like.
The new stadium, you know, they're going to get to play. Somebody's going to play in that stadium every weekend, I think.
In San Diego?
No, in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, it's still being used. Like, the San Diego State uses it for their home games. They had a pretty good season this year, San Diego State in football. I don't know. They may have high school games there or something. I mean, it gets somewhat used.
Yeah, and
it's just in a weird spot. Like, San Diego is freaking gorgeous. If they could put a football stadium down in the harbor area near the gas lamp district, it would be unbelievable. And that is exactly where the Padres play. And it's awesome where the Padres play.
Really quick, it used to be Qualcomm Stadium. Now it is San Diego County Credit Union Stadium.
Yeah.
San Diego County Credit Union pays $500,000 for the rights through December 31st of this year.
Yeah, that's not a lot. I've been there. I've seen the big banner.
They don't play bowl games. It's the bowl games that are going to keep the stadium up and running.
Yeah, they play bowl games everywhere. They play bowl games in front of friends and family.
You know, at the Cotton Bowl plays roughly three games there. They play the Texas-Oklahoma game there. They're going to play a BCS bowl game there and maybe one more earlier where they'll call it something else. But I mean, a whole stadium devoted basically to three games. That's crazy. That's nuts.
Also, the Alliance of American Football will be starting play here in 2019, and there's a team called the San Diego Fleet that will be playing their home games there.
Go for it.
Yeah, whatever.
Who cares?
Back in October, Navy hosted Notre Dame in a regular season game.
I got it.
Where?
At SDCCU Stadium.
Yeah, it was a bad deal for the city. That stinks, man. I used to love to go to San Diego.
I look forward to going to San Diego every year. The worst fan base, for sure, in America,
Atlanta Falcons
is for the Chargers.
Oh,
and
everything Atlanta is terrible.
Dude,
basketball.
I'm more
football.
Or less agreeing. That stadium, which is hosting the Super Bowl this year, is ridiculous.
Oh, the stadium. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about worst fans.
The worst, there's definitely fewer Chargers fans than Falcons fans. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, now they don't have a home, D-Mac.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking the history of sports, I'm talking about today.
Of all the NFL cities, Atlanta's got to be like the worst.
Al, the Cotton Bowl is played at Jerry World.
The Cotton Bowl is now played at Jerry World?
That's what the text says.
Really? That's not what I don't know about that. The Cotton Bowl was assured a BCS game, there's no BCS anymore. Is there a BCS anymore? I don't know. College football is funky. But put it this way. There is a major bowl game that's held at the Cotton Bowl every year.
All right. Our phone number is 303-713-1043. The text line is the same. You can hit us up there. Here is Case Keenum. Case is saying we're getting better.
You know, I think you're always trying to master it. I told somebody just a minute ago, I think there's a learning curve, but I think the curve just keeps going. You know, I think, you kind of get into the more advanced, intricate details of different plays and different, philosophy on different schemes that you put in against different types of defense. And, then you throw in what type of situation it is, first, second, third down, 2 minute red zone, where you are in the field. There's a million different factors that go into, learning an offense. And I feel like that's why all the really great quarterbacks, all the really great players were students of the game, and they're trying to build their craft at their position. So I've always tried to build my craft and continue to mold my craft, in a positive way, in a positive trending way. So, do I feel a lot better than I did in training camp? Heck yeah. I think we're light years ahead of where we were then. But at the same time, I still feel like we have a long way to go.
Well, I could see that. I mean, he's not making the same mistakes, and sometimes making no mistakes at all is just good enough. And, the three and outs are kind of like, you kind of roll your eyes at him. But it does help, by the way. How about this? Colby Wadman, right? Isn't it nice that you don't have to focus on a punter? He just kind of does what he's supposed to do. Like, Colby Wadman, Alfred, had the best punting game he's ever had.
Oh, he looked good.
He did. He flipped the field. Good. He's throwing a touchdown passes or not a touchdown pass, a first down pass. I don't know. You just don't think about it. You're like, oh, okay. That's the way it should be. You know, and that wasn't the case early in the season. And early in the season, Case Keenum was throwing more interceptions than touchdowns. That is now flipped. The Broncos are doing pretty good in that department, to be quite honest with you. I mean, it's so nice to see their, what are they? They're seventh in the league in plus minus and turnover margin at plus six. What a difference.
Yeah, last year I think we had, what, minus 17?
I think we were minus 17. I think we were 31st in the league. Minus 17. Gargantuan difference. And if that means Case Keenum's just being a little bit more careful and it's not quite as dynamic, then I'm fine with it. There is a difference. Like Ben just said, you know, Big Ben Roethlisberger said, you know, throwing interceptions is like missing three-pointers. Which,
throwing interceptions is like turning over the basketball on an inbounds.
Well, that's not how he views it. But Ben was saying
to
also,
me, I'm like, you're giving the opponent the ball right there at the rim.
Ben was saying, well, like the degree that it hurts you is like throwing 10 inbound passes right to your opponent. You know, it's not a one-for-one sort of situation. I mean, it can translate to a huge difference in a game. But that's Ben Roethlisberger, right? It's kind of like that was like Brett Favre. Like, you just know that that's what's going to happen with these guys. And you say, well, the benefits are going to outweigh those, you know, downturns. Well, that can't be the same for Case Keenum, right? Like, he can't be that guy. He hasn't built up enough equity to sort of be that sort of gunslinger. So it's a new approach, or at least it's working. And boy, Al, the Broncos are in every single game. Every single game. And they probably will continue to be in every single game as long as it's like that. And you don't do something stupid like how you played against the Jets when you're just giving up absurd amount of yards and points. They've been giving up an absurd amount of yards. That's for sure. But who cares? 10 points. 10 points at home to the Steelers. That's what the Broncos defense gave up. 10. How many points do you envision them giving up against Jeff Driscoll and the Bengals?
Oh, I don't know, D-Mac. Maybe 20?
Maybe. Maybe there's a late touchdown and it gets to 20. But I bet you it's closer to 13.
I mean, the guy scored 14 points. It should have been 14, but 13 points in 14. It was 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Against the Browns.
And he had...
When the Browns were leading 35-7.
Well, don't forget about the penalty they call about the illegal shift that happened in the fourth quarter of that game that could have gave them the ball on the 6-yard line. Anyway, I mean, okay. Okay, he stinks.
I'm just saying, it's looking good. It's looking good for the Broncos this week. Josh, you're on the Fan. Hi, Josh. Josh, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Well thought out. Fantastic contribution.
But take that L on the way out.
Okay, we will.
I don't appreciate that.
It's just been such a great run. It's been fun. It's happened at such a terrific time of the year. And man, oh man, just what two games will do. And the Avs, way to go Avs. Oh. Way to go Nuggets.
D-Mac, I just, Armin, by the way, he didn't come in and talk to you. The Cotton Bowl is now at actually the AT&T Stadium, Jerry's World. And the actual Cotton Bowl is now played. It's called a First Responder Bowl, the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl. I was looking at bowl games trying to find. I know that they said the Cotton Bowl had to be part of the Big Five of bowl games, but I forgot that they took it away. That was a big game. That was a big game. Anyway, All right, so the Cotton Bowl is just a bowl game that plays. I guess a few teams play there three times a year. Wow! So Jerry Jones took away the namesake bowl for the Dallas area. Wow, that's huge.
All right, you want to get a hold of us? 303-713-1043. It's The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-7000. 800-522-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Hey, you can call me. Call us. 303-713-1043. Remember the name of this group, Al?
This is The Turn.
The Turn?
Yeah, your turn to name who it is.
This is Blondie, Deborah Harry, and she. So the name of the group was Blondie, but the lead singer, her name's actually Deborah Harry. What's your second favorite Blondie song? That's right, The Tide Is High.
What you gotta do, Blondie?
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Look at Alfred. I love it. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, you're on The Fan. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going?
Super.
Super. I wanted to call about the coaching. So am I being overcritical of two things? Last week against Pittsburgh, on the last drive, Pittsburgh, the clock was running and they were on the 3-yard line with a minute 20 left. And, our coach didn't call a timeout. If they had scored a touchdown, we would have had 30 seconds, 40 seconds left to try to go down the field and score. And then the other thing is last week against San Diego, I thought I heard Al say that the play calling was great, but I looked at the stats and it looked like there was only one attempt over 10 yards or one completion over 10 yards in the entire game except for the last drive. How could I feel like that's a great play calling? What am
because,
I missing here?
Because you had a first-time offensive line playing together for the first time in a real NFL game. Four tackles were in the game. Two were playing guard, and you had a brand-new center, and you had a guy who was just coming back off an injury. The ball had to come out the quarterback hand quickly. And by the way, it's the same game plan that we saw with the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Denver Broncos for the most part of the game. Short passes or just flipping it up for a bomb. And those are, you know, like throwing a fade route or a nine or a go, whatever you want to call it. Man, in the NFL, that is a low probability play. That's like a 20% play. Like you hit that 20% of the time. So, do you really want to waste a down on a play that's a 20% of the time kind of play? So the game plan was perfect. Keep the ball short distances, move the quarterback around, not and let these guys grow together as an offensive line because there were just too many. Opportunities for bad things to happen from that great defensive line of the San Diego Los Angeles Chargers.
In terms of the time issue, it's a good question, but
the timing on the last drive, I thought was awful. I thought we should have called timeout as soon as they got the first down.
Yeah, I understand the argument for that, but I was watching a season in review on the 2014 Patriots of all things. And it was the Patriots game against the Seahawks when the Patriots were in a very similar position. When you think about it, they had timeouts left. The Seahawks had it first and goal from like the 4-yard line. And when you watch this documentary, multiple coaches were going up to Belichick to say, should we call a timeout? Should we call a timeout? Should we call a timeout? And Belichick just was based on the groupings and the personnel and the defense and everything was making these judgments in his head. And he thought it was the right thing to not call a timeout because he saw things that they were doing. And they, by the way, the Patriots knew the Seahawks were about to throw the ball. They didn't think it. They knew it based on their personnel. And they were putting on the goal line three cornerbacks, which the Patriots barely have that as part of their goal line package. They really don't. Because it's so rare that, teams are sort of showing a package like that. So as soon as the Seahawks did that, Al, the Patriots knew they were about to throw the ball. And that's when they famously, yelled Malcolm Butler onto the field. So in that particular situation, Belichick didn't want to stop the Seahawks to think about it. Now, it is conceivable, and perhaps a tip of the hat, that the Broncos coaches could sort of see where the Steelers were going. Or do you think the Broncos just got lucky?
I think against that team, they got lucky. But that's okay. Luck is good. We've been unlucky against the Texans.
Well, if you think they just got lucky, then that's a coaching mistake.
I don't like the way the Belichick game was handled at the end of the
Belichick
game.
Belichick didn't call a timeout very much on purpose.
We won the game, man. We won the game.
So you think that was a coaching mistake?
I think it was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Man, if it was me calling the game, I would have tried to preserve all the time left. I would assume that they're in scoring position, you know. But you know what? In the end, the pressure was always on the Patriots to score a touchdown. It was never on us to score a touchdown.
All right.
Us stopping the clock could have helped them. You know, and maybe that's me being naive because I'm just trying to save enough time to get us a field goal.
I mean, I understand the thought process, but I just want to cite another reference that a pretty smart coach did the same exact thing Vance Joseph did. Just let it run and let them play it out because he felt like they had the right defense for what was about to happen. So, you know, there's a two sides to every coin, right? But I'll tell you something we can all agree on, and that is the Fans' Season of Hope, presented by Aqua Spas. We're looking to provide the men of the Denver Rescue Mission's New Life program some Christmas spirit and support. Austin Boswell was lost, and the New Life program made a difference immediately.
It's changed my life greatly. I was homeless, living on the streets. I fell into the drug scene pretty heavily. Found myself jobless and homeless and without a sense of hope or direction. And it just gave me a new start. It just helped me get back on my feet and get a clear head and get my priorities straight and gave me a little hope for the future.
You're looking forward to getting back to work. What kind of work are you looking forward to getting back to?
I think I'm going to try to get a job out at the airport, refueling planes. So it's something I haven't done before, which I look forward to challenging myself, see if I can do that.
What has Christmas been like for you in the past?
The last few years, it's been depressing. Being where I was, homeless, you don't really look forward to those types of holidays just because you don't really have anything to hope for. But with the New Life program, it's definitely given me hope, and it's helped me out tremendously.
Now, as part of the holiday program here, the Christmas program, you get to ask for something for Christmas. Have you given any thought, or is there something that stands out that you would really like to have?
I'm a Broncos fan. I'm an Avs fan. So me personally, just knowing that there's people out there that care and that are willing to help people that are less fortunate, that are going through tough times, to me, that's a gift in itself.
Austin's a sports fan, just like us, who's doing what it takes to get his life on track. And you can make a difference and help encourage people just like him this holiday season through Season of Hope. So go to 1043thefan.com to provide a monetary gift of support. One donation of $30 makes you a hero of hope. And thank you for contributing to the Fan Season of Hope. Presented by AquaSpa.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Something happening here.
What it is? Not clear.
What it is ain't exactly clear.
There's a man.
There's a man with a gun over there.
What's he saying? It's not clear.
Telling me I got to beware.
Here is Case Keenum.
It's a lot of different things, you know. Obviously, the different plays as far as getting them involved. You know, a tight end's always a great security blanket because as big as they are, you know, as great hands as they have, they tend to be, never really covered. Even when they're covered, you can still get them the ball in certain situations.
Al, is it a case for case? It's just being a little safer by being a little bit more conservative and going to those players that, you know, are easier to go to. Emmanuel got 12 targets, but the tight end's got 7.
I was going to say this Monday.
All right.
And I didn't say it, but I'll go ahead and say it now. I think not having Demaryius Thomas on the team helps this team out.
How so?
because Case is not trying to force balls into his second receiver because there's no real need. Because you're just trying to move the ball and score touchdowns. And I think with Demaryius Thomas in the lineup, you had to take care of him statistically. And he's not winning. He's not.
It's
he's
a
not,
tight. It's a tight window with DT every.
Yeah,
every
I mean,
time.
He's not
Unless
winning.
It's a screen
so,
sort of
so
thing.
You know, I. But it's funny how this all coincides with DT being gone and us playing well enough to win the game against the Texans and then winning two more games.
That's right.
How does that work? Well,
you I think know, you make a good point there. Every throw to DT is tightly contested. He didn't have the separation. He was in a messy part of the field a lot. You know, at least with Emmanuel, you know, you're seeing separation.
And,
you know,
and he's getting double-digit targets, which he deserves.
No doubt about it.
And he's played great.
I don't know if you heard it, but he's admitted he's the number one receiver.
Yeah, he's the number one receiver for good reason, D-Mac.
For good reason.
He's earned that number one receiver. He's going to have well over 1,200 yards at the end of this, and he's going to be widely regarded as a go-to guy in this organization, as he should be.
I bet you anything. You're going to continue to throw the ball to Emmanuel, no doubt about it. You'll see the same amount of targets to the tight ends, and I think you'll mix in some other positive, safe passes to the running backs, specifically Phillip Lindsay. And I bet you anything you sort of see that progression, where it's safe, it's a good throw, and it's very productive.
But, I mean, there's no pressure, though. There's no pressure, D-Mac, for them to throw the ball to Demaryius Thomas, you know, like
there's no pressure. It's gone.
Let's make sure to get DT his 8 to 10 targets today.
I agree with you. One thing I said yesterday, you were off, but yesterday it was like, to me, in my opinion, moving forward, the best thing for the Broncos to have more guys on the same page with their head coach. We've talked about that. Does the head coach deserve to be there? Well, the more guys you keep on the team that believe that, probably the better off you're going to be. And, you know,
as the Broncos get younger, they're going to get better because all they know is what Vance Joseph is telling them.
Right. So if things are going well, why would you change that? It would make no sense.
I'm not trying to advocate for a coach keeping his job, but whoever would have took this job, I would have been in the same position when it comes to the quarterback play. Because the quarterback play determines whether or not you win games in this league. Mm. You know, whether you want to believe it or not, it is. You know, we had a chance to put the game away with roughly, I think, 5 minutes to go in the game with a field goal, or I think it was roughly 4 minutes in the game with a field goal and a first down and a field goal, game's over. And we didn't do it. I mean, those are quarterback moments. We gave them a chance to get back into the game. So
that almost seems to happen in every NFL game.
No, but I'm just saying.
It seems to happen all the time.
But the good teams, D-Mac, understand that.
Yeah,
and the good teams can run it then. The good teams can throw it then.
I understand what you're saying.
It does not. Not to the good teams.
NFL, when we watch NFL games on a weekly basis, stuff like that seems to happen all the time. It's what's great about watching the NFL. It creates this drama, this kind of inevitable NFL drama. And sometimes you don't see that. In college football, you see Michigan making a slight comeback and say, oh, maybe they just keep it interesting. And then, you know, they lose by 30. Ben, you're on the fan. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Super.
Super.
Good. Hey, I just have one quick question for you. If there was one player or one position that you could replace with the up-and-coming draft, who would it be, and with what player would you replace him with?
I would go to Tua in 2020. Other than that, I don't see anybody in particular I would replace. Okay, I'll give you somebody, but are you going to give Bradley Roby a new contract, Al? Are we going to – how much – we're not? Okay. So I would say DeAndre Baker, Greedy Williams, a cornerback. And move on from Bradley Roby to answer that guy's question, Ben's question. You?
I haven't started that deep into the process, you know, when I find out what our pick is. But I'm going to say the next guy is going to be the guy that replaces Bradley Roby.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
you need a Denzel Ward type of guy.
What's clear with us is that we have to, Yadam is actually playing some pretty damn good football right now.
Good.
Yeah, he's playing some pretty good football.
That's
figured
good.
He would do it in the second half of the season.
But Bradley Roby's going to be a free agent.
Yeah,
and
we can't.
What
we
are
can't,
we going to do?
We can't pay Bradley Roby a king's ransom.
Right.
We cannot do it.
But you're going to have to if you want to retain him.
No, but I think
he's going to be a free agent.
$10 million a year. I mean,
right.
Right, which is not a king's ransom for the cornerback position that is playing at a high level, but we can't do it.
Right, so we're on the same page there. The most obvious choice is probably a cornerback in the draft. But guess what? You don't need to bottom out. You don't need to lose games to get a great cornerback in the top 20 picks of the draft. You're going to be fine no matter what.
And I think what happens to this conversation, D-Mac, what happens to this conversation is that people are so anxious to move to the next year's draft. People are very anxious to move to the end of the season to see how it works. And sorry, we just got to see how it plays out. And if you would have told me that the Denver Broncos would be 5-6 during this time period, I'd tell you, you're out of your mind.
I want to point out something to people, too. The San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers last year were 3-6.
And they got a last place schedule.
And they went 6-1 the rest of the way. Now, it wasn't good enough to get to the playoffs, but they finished the season on a high note. And they were able to take the way they finished the season. They weren't dumping games to do better in the draft. They finished the season on a high note, going 6-1 in their final seven games.
And they
took that same momentum, and they took it right into the next year.
And they got them a Pro Bowl safety with Derwin James.
There you go. So, great, great, great example. And that is a somewhat similar position of need for the Broncos. So, why don't we copy that formula? Wouldn't it be great?
Just draft well every year, and we won't be in this situation. That's the bottom line. The reason that we're in this situation right now is because we didn't draft well.
In years past, yes.
But when you hear, when you hear announcers now starting to talk about this year's draft class, it's almost like y'all late to the party, man. We were telling you that this draft class was awesome before it even started. Like after the first OTAs, when you had a chance to really see these guys, you go, oh, man, we got something here.
We need to hang in there. With our quarterback, hang in there with our coaches.
Draft another great class.
Stick to the plan you got.
This year, put a quarterback in the mix and then go for it. You're not going to give Case Keenum a monster contract going forward. You're not going to give a guy a monster contract that you don't think they can go into Foxborough and beat Tom Brady.
But you're advocating for them not to take Cortland Sutton or Royce Freeman, and I'm not. I think missing out on Cortland Sutton or Royce Freeman next year would be bad.
Oh.
So you don't
hit on all the players. Even if you have a glut at one position, who cares?
We got to run, Al.
Yeah. We could have had this conversation all day. For my partner, D-Mac, for Big Sexy, the man behind the glass that pulls it together every day, and for my man, the Strawberry Man, I'm Big Al saying, have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 on The Drive. Good night, everybody.